You know, a man was asked one time, if you die, do you know you go to heaven or not? He said, I hope so. I hope so. You know, there's a lot of people out in the world that have a false sense of security. They think if they die, they're automatically going to go to heaven. And unfortunately, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. So tonight, I've titled the message, Hope in This Troubled World. Father, we look to you tonight. I thank you that we have our hope and our trust and our confidence in you. Lord, you never change. You're always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you love us with an everlasting love. You are for us, Lord. You're not against us. You're not trying to trip us up, Lord. And Father, your word is truth. Your word is eternal. Your word never changes. And I'm so glad that we can put our trust and our hope and our confidence in you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. You know, we've all been born into a very wicked world that we live in today. And it just seems like it's disintegrating faster and faster before our very eyes. I never would have dreamt the depth that this world has gone, you know, in these just last few years. Great evil has risen up, and it seems to have progressed to unimaginable degrees never thought possible. And yet it's interesting because Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, verses 14 and 15. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then it's interesting. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So in the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of everything going on, he'll keep us here. He's not going to take us out. He has a plan and a purpose for us. So we kind of find ourselves in a dilemma of sorts. Having to live godly lives in a wicked world that wants to destroy us because of who we are, and to keep safe in this world requires us to live, I call it, in the presence of God. If you want to be safe, you need to live in the presence of God. That's where you're safe. And then come to know God in His Word, and be obedient to do what he asks of us. That's the safest place. If God called us in the middle of a battle out here, and that's where God called us, that's the safest place to be. I saw a movie a year or two ago. It was about somebody that was called to go to Burma. Burma Rangers, they call it. I don't know if somebody saw that or not. And he ended up taking his whole family. I mean, he raised his family in the middle of war country because that's where God wanted them to be. And God kept them safe. The safest place is with what God wants you to do. Hallelujah. And so we have to recognize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. And we are in a battle between good and evil, between God and the devil. Guess who's going to win? It's not going to be the devil. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, you think about it, that was us at one time. We were, the Jews would call us uncircumcised in the flesh. And that's what we were called by them. And at that time, we were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So at one point, the Jews, it's like that was the only way to get to heaven almost. They had to become a Jew. But we were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and no God in the world. I can't even imagine today living without God in the world. That would be a tough deal. I can't imagine how people can survive out there in this world. There's no hope. And they have no hope. And if somebody dies, it's like they have a big fit deal. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You know, they don't know where they've gone. It's really tragic. But we don't have that problem because we have a hope, and that hope is solid and it's secure. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. And I didn't, I kind of went picked that back a couple of verses or so. But it goes, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, none of these kind of people will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by His Spirit. Hallelujah. In spite of our circumstances in this present world, I'd like to draw your attention to the word hope. Hope. Hope is to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation or confidence. Confident expectancy. In the Bible, the word hope stands for both the act of hoping and the thing hoped for. The act of hoping and the thing hoped for. Romans 4:18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. We're talking about Abraham here. And the interesting thing about Abraham, God was going to make him a father of nations. And he couldn't have any kids, you know. And what did he do? They tried through a servant. And that backfired. We still have the repercussions from that to this very day. And that's a sad deal. He tried to help God out a little bit. Don't ever try to help God out. He knows what he's doing. And all you do is get yourself in trouble and bring up a lot of problems for your life. So he became the father of nations according to what is spoken. So contrary to hope, in hope he believed. He believed God. And he became the father of many nations. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of the hope. It's talking about planting the seed, God's seed, and seeing Christians born again into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And he who plows in hope, you believe that you're sowing your seed, you're talking to people about the Lord, that it's going to bring fruit, it's going to bear fruit. And you'll be threshing in hope, you'll be partaker of that hope. Hallelujah. You can read that, all about that, in Paul. Paul was just, he was always talking about, you know, sowing the seed and bringing people into the kingdom. And it was like he was the father to those people. He was daddy. He was looking out for them. He prayed for them always. He had that hope that when he preached that God was going to bring people into the kingdom. And then the act of hoping, then the thing hoped for. Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope which was laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So there's a hope laid up for us in heaven. Your treasure needs to be in heaven. And the Bible talks about that, where thieves can't get to it. It won't deteriorate, it won't rust, it won't mold, it won't, you know. But we have a hope, and that hope isn't, I hope so. No, it's a sure thing, and it's laid up for us in heaven. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." It's alive. Hallelujah. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, there's a lot of people out there that would really like to find the tomb of Jesus and find the body of Jesus in that. There's a lot of people who would really like to find that. The devil would love to push that agenda. But when he rose from the dead, hallelujah, he didn't stay in the tomb. And he gives us a living hope. He's alive today. He's going to make sure that which we've put on before is going to be there for us. Hallelujah. Hope does not arise from an individual's desires or wishes. Hope doesn't come just from our wishes or our desires. It comes from God, who is himself the believer's hope. My hope is in you, Lord. Hallelujah. So Christian hope comes from God. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't only have the hope, you're abounding in it. It's like it keeps building. It's glorious. His hope comes from the hope, Christian hope comes from his grace. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. His grace, hallelujah, gives that to us. We didn't deserve it, but he gives it to us. Gives us what we don't deserve. And Christian hope also comes from his word. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Yeah, I don't see a microwave society going on there at all. Patience. Patience. The Lord seems to never be in a big hurry. And He's really testing our faith by not just giving us something immediately. We're going to get it, but it's not going to come immediately. But this, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hallelujah. And Christian hope also comes from His gospel. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:23. And here we have this if clause again. A lot of people don't like these if clauses. If indeed you continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith. Grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. There we go again. If you continue in the faith, you have that hope. Grounded, steadfast, not moved away. God is looking for people that are going to hold fast. They're going to put their trust in God, put their hope in God, and not going to fall away. He'll give us the strength to do that. He'll give us the strength to do that. And hope is directed toward God. Acts 24:15, Paul here is talking to one of the kings, and he's given an account because he's in jail, basically. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. You see, we're not going to just go to the grave and that's it. Some people kind of rather do that. They'd rather just, let's just go there and forget about it, you know. Even Job even wrestled with that a little bit. I wished I hadn't even been born. I wished that, you know, he had some issues there with God. 1 Peter 1:21 says, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The one thing I really appreciate about God, it was God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world that, you know, that would be saved. And he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. So Jesus loves us. He came. He died on the cross for us. But it was God's love that reached and sent him. And he willingly came down and did what he had to do to rescue us and to save us. So who believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And hope also comes through Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. There we go. Patience of hope again. Have patience. You're not going to get it right away, but patience. And its appropriate objects are eternal life. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who sometimes lies, which God who cannot lie, There's some things God can't do. He cannot lie. He cannot change his character. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can depend on that. Hallelujah. God cannot lie. This hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. This was all worked out before we ever came on the scene, before the human race was even created. And then we get hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Not I hope so. This is the hope. This is the real McCoy. Hallelujah. The helmet, the hope of salvation. And then righteousness. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We think about what they say about our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we're not having our righteousness. We have His righteousness. And we have the hope of this righteousness by faith. We accept that. Christ gave us His righteousness. Hallelujah. And we can stand on that. And then the appearing of Christ. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's what we're looking for. That's what we're supposed to be focused on. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the resurrection from the dead. Acts 23:6. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. Concerning the hope and resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Our hope is that one day, if we end up in the tomb, that we will rise up out of that. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hope is one of the three main elements of the Christian character. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So it's joined to faith and love. And it's opposed to seeing or possessing. In Romans 8:24, it says, For we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? If he sees it and you already have it right there, why would you hope for it? I hope I'm standing here. I am. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, when the Lord comes back, we'll be the children of God. No. It says, Beloved, now, right now, this very second, we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're the children of God right now. Hallelujah. We belong to Him. We're His children. He's Father God. Hallelujah. And He's our Father, and He's looking out for us. Oh, but I'm not perfect. I know. I'm not perfect. I'm still His son. I'm still His child. Hallelujah. Right now. Hallelujah. Right now. Hope is essential and fundamental element of Christian life. So essential, indeed, that like faith and love, it can itself designate the essence of Christianity. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You know, we need to have a readiness. We need to be ready. We need to have an answer. Somebody asks us for the hope that's in us. We need to be able to give a defense to them with meekness and fear. We need to have they're asking us, "Well, how come you're different? Why do you believe this? Or why do you do that?" Or, you know, we need to have an answer. Why are we doing that? So we always need to be able to give an answer to them. And this hope is not an "I hope so," but it's a sure thing. Hebrews 10:23, here we go again. "Let us hold fast the confession," or another translation would say profession, confession or profession, "of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Confession is that which we speak out of here. Profession is that we're living it out and demonstrating it by our actions to the world. And so we need to hold fast that confession or that profession of our hope, because he's faithful that promised. Hallelujah. And we need to have full confidence and trust in God that what he declares or promises, it'll come to pass. We need to have that confidence. We need to have that assurance. And how do you get that? Well, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Because the Word never lies. The Word never changes. And he's also always going to, he can't do anything different than the Word. If somebody comes up with something that's different from the Word, chuck it. You want no part of it. So hope, in it the whole glory of the Christian vocation is centered. Ephesians 1:18, "The eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." I really think you're talking about the eyes of his understanding and the heart. "Being enlightened, that you may know," beyond a shadow of a doubt, you need to know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Did you know that God has an inheritance in our lives? It's so amazing to think that God, who created us, he's for us. He's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Even when we slip and fall, he's there to pick us up and to get us back on our feet again. We need to have that confidence in God. Hallelujah. Need to have that trust in God. Hope. In it, the whole glory of the Christian vocation is centered. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There's not two bodies, there's not two spirits, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And unbelievers are without this hope. They don't have this hope. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We didn't have any hope whatsoever. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I don't know about you, but you know, heaven wouldn't be heaven without Jesus. It'd be like just taking a trip to a beautiful country or something. It wouldn't be heaven without Jesus. But we don't have to sorrow. When Christians die, you know, yeah, we miss them. We miss them. There's no doubt about that. We miss them. But if they're over on the other side with Jesus, why would we want them back here? Or why would we want them back here to suffer maybe as they were suffering for a long period of time? Praise God, they're over on the other side. That's where we're all headed. And so we shouldn't be sorrowing as those who have no hope. And Christ is the actual object of the believer's hope, because it is his second coming that the hope of glory will be fulfilled. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Hallelujah. It's interesting. Pick up on one thing there. God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Did you know that God's your Savior too? It's not just Jesus. God is your Savior. He's the one that made it possible. He's the one that sent Jesus. Hallelujah. So He is our Savior as well, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was one thing that was really neat about Paul. God gave him some fresh revelation that hadn't been given up to this time, about Christ, about being a part of the body and everything. There were some really wonderful truths that he received from God. Jesus Christ, which is in you, the hope of glory. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's a hope that we have. That's a sure thing. And we're looking forward to that glorious appearing. Whether it's going to happen by rapture or we go by the way of the grave. I prefer the rapture. I don't know that, you know, we don't really have a say in that. But I would prefer the rapture. I had a dream in my early days that the rapture was taking place and I was going up. And then that was it, you know. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go in a rapture. Maybe I won't. But in any case, our confidence is in Christ. And He is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, hope is also spoken as lively, a living hope, a hope not frail and perishable, but having perennial life. 1 Peter 1:3, a heavenly inheritance, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Hallelujah. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this hope that we have is alive. Hallelujah. It's not dead. It's not buried in some tomb somewhere. It's alive. It's a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And hope her, Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access by his faith, by faith, into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the glory of God. Hallelujah. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. The hope spoken of is probably objective, the hope that is set before us. It's something that we can hang on to. It's like you put it in money in the bank. It's there for you whenever you want to make a withdrawal. Praise God. It's a hope that's set before us. So what do we do with this hope? What do we have to do? Well, 1 John 3:3 says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So that's our goal. That's what we need to do. That's what we want to make sure we have it. We have that hope. We got to stand on it. We got to believe in it. We can't turn from it. And so in order to do that, we want to purify ourselves just as he is pure. In the Revised Version, it says instead of hope in him, it says hope on him. I don't know that makes that much difference, but our hope has to be based on God. Or based in God? What's the difference? I don't know. So, Father, I thank you that we have a hope that you've given to us that is a sure thing. Lord, we can have confidence. We can trust. In the midst of our crazy world that we live in, Lord, you have given us the ability to have fellowship with you and to walk with you and be empowered by your Holy Spirit to be able to live this life out, Lord, and to let our light shine for you. And Lord, we want to be able to share this hope with those around about us. And if we're asked, Lord, give us the wisdom to know what to say to some of these people so that we might spread the light and salt, Lord, to those that are around about us. Help us to live in such a way, Lord, that will glorify your name and would cause people to be drawn to you, Lord. It would cause more people to come into the kingdom to receive that same hope that we have. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We pray you'd bless your people tonight. Watch over us, Lord. Let your name be glorified. And we thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.